Welcome to the Pro Photographer Interview Series, episode number 30. This is Shamira Young with you from Zenjoyable.com. Today I have the pleasure of chatting with both Verena and Jay Patel. Verena is a wilderness and nature photographer, a prolific writer, and a highly regarded photography instructor. Along with her husband Jay, she has written a series of ebooks and recorded a collection of video courses on a wide range of topics pertaining to photography. Her award-winning work has been published around the world by National Geographic, National Parks Magazine, Popular Photography, and many, many more. Verena travels frequently, shooting in beautiful and remote locations across the globe. Now, fun fact, I had originally set up this interview with just Verena, not realizing that her husband was also a highly regarded photographer. Now, when Verena and I were having our pre-interview chat, I noticed the corner of her husband's shoulder on the screen sitting in the chair next to her. I asked who that was, and 5 minutes later, we had convinced Jay to participate in the interview. He was a bit caught by surprise in the beginning, but he really did an excellent job. They are absolutely a dynamic duo, and they both play important roles in how they run their business, so I was so happy to get the both of them in on this. Now, today we have a really awesome conversation, and we cover quite a bit, such as the importance of evaluating yourself, knowing your target market, having a strong portfolio, tracking the results of your efforts, and making tweaks as you grow your photography business. Now, before we get to the interview, very quickly, I want to let you know about our Photography Business Essential Bundle. It's 4 weeks of freebies delivered every 7 days to your email inbox, and this is available on our website, Zenjoyable.com. The first thing you'll get is the interactive PDF e-guide titled 12 Common Business Tips and Mistakes Photographers Wish They'd Known Before Going Pro. Now, the information in this ebook was gathered from my own mistakes, of course, but also just in the conversations that I've had with different photographers, including the photographers from our interview series. So, in this PDF e-guide, you're going to get a wealth of information compiled from many different photographers. Now, after this e-guide, every 7 days for 4 weeks, you'll get a new freebie that'll help propel your photography business forward. Head on over to Zenjoyable.com and you'll see that offer on the homepage. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Hi, everybody. I'm hanging with Verena and Jay Patel. They're wilderness and nature photographers, prolific writers, and highly regarded photography instructors. I'm just so happy to have both of you with us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for including me. This is quite a surprise.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Oh, excellent. And you know, I was looking on your websites and I was just so impressed with your work. And I'm thinking I have to have them on the show so I can pick their brains.
And, Thank you.
I always make it a point to ask about you first to get some background on the both of you so that our listeners can get to know you. So just tell us about yourselves. Give us an overview of your background and how you ended up where you are today.
Yeah, well, I started out shooting as a kid. I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. My dad had a camera and he always let me use it. He was very generous about that. And he would get my photos processed and you know, let me play with it. In middle school, I took my first photography class. I learned to work in the darkroom, which was amazingly fun. And then, you know, by the time I reached high school, I knew that I wanted to be a photographer when I grew up. But, you know, that's sort of an impractical career choice. And my parents were quite outspoken about that. So by the time I reached college, you know, I was majoring in art with a concentration in photography, but they really didn't like that. So in the end, I pulled out of that. I switched my major to language arts, which is also completely impractical. And then in the end, though, you know, I graduated with a degree in IT. So that sort of well-rounded background has come in enormously handy for me. I have, you know, the language arts background so I can write. I have the art background. So, you know, that helps definitely being a photographer. And then the IT background, I, you know, can build my own website. I can handle the code and all that. And so it's been a really great collection of, I don't know, disciplines, you know. So, yeah, it's for me, having that background has been great. And then you know, by 2005, I was shooting for Marriott, the hotel chain, doing interiors for them. And I started doing stock photography and some portraits and things like that. And eventually, you know, when I met Jay, we met in 2005, right? So we had actually both gone pro separately, and we ended up sort of merging our businesses. We started teaching together. We started doing workshops together. We got married.
That's awesome.
It seemed like the logical next step.
Actually, we got married first, I think.
Yeah. No, we were teaching first. And then we got married.
You had to see how well you could teach together before you got married, right?
True.
That's critically important. Yeah. So, yeah. And then, you know, from there, we started doing sort of a wide range of different photography. You know, we were, like I said, we were teaching workshops, we were shooting stock, but we were also doing eBooks. We now we do video courses. So we have a huge variety of things that we do. And mostly, though, we're traveling, we're going to amazing places, and we're having an amazingly fun time.
That is awesome. You two are definitely living what looks like the dream lifestyle.
Yeah. It's a little crazy at times, but it's well worth it.
And Jay, tell us how you ended up, I guess, in getting into photography before you met Verena.
Well, I always wanted to do photography, but never wanted to make a living out of photography career. My photography is purely driven by passion, so I'm more likely to turn interviews down and not go on a TV show or be famous, rather than just go out in the wilderness. So I started to first acquire my camera, my first Canon AE-1 I wanted to get when I was in high school. And I was living in India, this was a long time ago, and there was only one of those in the market in the entire city of Ahmedabad that I used to live in. Wow. 500,000 people, no good camera shops, but there was one guy who brought the camera from US and had it for sale. And then I tried to get it, and right before I got there, he had sold it. I was like, no way. And then life intervened, and I decided to come to U.S. to get an education. So at the time, I was a college student in the U.S. and had no money like the rest of the college students and couldn't afford a camera at that time or good lenses. So everything has to go on a back burner until 10 years later when I could, when the digital cameras, the first point and shoot started coming on the market, like the Kodaks and the Nikon point and shoots and things. And at that time, my son was born, so I acquired one point and shoot camera to get back into the passion that I wanted to follow 10 years ago. And by this time, I had like a few master's degrees, three or four, had education. And my education is, I have a master's degree in engineering and business management. I have a couple of master's in MBAs in business management. So, and then I go and get a camera. And my whole objective was not to teach, not to do anything. So what ended up happening was I ended up getting a camera, going out and shooting. And then I purchased the first DSLR that ever came on the market in 2001. And I started shooting just landscape photography. I had no intention of making money.
It was like a 3-megapixel camera, right?
Yeah. And I still have great images from it. And then I started getting more and more recognized. And by the time 2005 came around, everybody and their brother was asking me for a workshop. And I finally said, you know, fine, you guys want to throw your money away, just pay me for it and let's go. And after that,
are you
just
plugging our business? That doesn't sound like much of a plug.
I mean, there's a really soft sell to this. It isn't like the photography business is not about pursuing and making money as much as it is about letting your work speak for itself. Mm-hmm. So I never try to sell people on saying, hey, we produce great video courses. We do. But we have a solid portfolio together. And that probably drives majority of what we can teach as educators based on the work we produce. So anyway, make the long story short, before I met Marina, I started doing workshops just because there were too many requests, and I was tired of denying everybody who asked me for one.
And Jay, you mentioned this, but I actually wasn't able to scribble it down fast enough in my notes. What degrees do you have? Did you say an MBA in business, and what else?
I have an engineering in electrical engineering and applied physics, a master's degree in it. I have a master's degree in technology management and a master's degree in marketing.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so basically, between the two of you, you guys cover so much educational ground. I mean, individually, Verena, you're like a triple, quadruple threat. And Jay, same for you. Oh, it's like the dynamic duo for sure.
You know what? That range of sort of knowledge, I guess, has been so huge for us because we have a lot of overlapping skills. And of course, as we've gotten to know each other better, I've learned from Jay, Jay's learned from me. And so now most of our skill sets really do overlap. But it means that we can handle so many different angles of our business, you know, not just the taking the photo side, but also the marketing, the design work, the writing that's required when you have an active blog, the teaching and all of it. So it's amazing to have such a broad skill set for us.
Absolutely.
That's really helped us a lot.
Yeah, we cover everything from finance, logistics, to everything from designing websites, to marketing, sales, and customer service, and all the way to teaching photography. So we go, our educational experience and our work experience is very, very broad and covers pretty much everything a small business would need.
I love it. My first dual interview, and I get the most dynamic duo possible. Now, I have to ask, you know, I'm just curious, which one of you is the introvert and which one is an extrovert? Or are you both one or the other or the same?
Oh, I am a total introvert. Jay is a total extrovert.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Oh, that's
Jay
so interesting.
Jay absolutely thrives on group settings and being around tons of people. And, you know, I love people. I love to talk to people. But then I really have to go and disappear for a while and hide in my little hole, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Well, you know, I'm so looking forward to this discussion that we're going to have about the business of photography. Oh, let's move right along. So, you know, I want to ask, and I think it's pretty apparent, but just to reiterate, then what area of photography would you both call your expertise?
Well, we are both landscape photographers. We both love wide angle photography. I am much more likely to do macro photography, detail photography, very minimalist compositions. Jay, on the other hand, is like wide angle, broad landscape. He loves to include as much as possible in the scene, these really dynamic compositions. So I tend to be the minimalist. He tends to be the dynamic.
Look at me.
Tons of photos, color. And
yeah, my photos are like, look at me. I am, you want to go here. I mean, they make your dream. Let's just put it that way. And so I like to take wide angle shots where people can just walk into the scene and say, I want to be there. And Marina is more macro, minimalist composition. I do try minimalist composition, but I particularly like that the wide angle nature. I also am more likely to do wildlife. So I will go and if I get a chance, I'll go spend. I like shooting wildlife. Not that we are wildlife photographer, but when I get a chance, I will spend hours just chasing the bird around.
Excellent. Yeah, both of your websites, the work on there, it really does speak for itself. So we'll make sure and include both of your sites in the show notes for our viewers to take a look at and check it out.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. Let's talk about running a photography business. Now, tell us, what's the most common obstacles that amateur nature photographers run into when they decide to try to make money off of their talent?
So I think the biggest issue is that a lot of photographers, when they start out, you know, they want to be artists, they want to be photographers, and they go to school and they study art and they come out of art school and they don't know anything about business. They don't know anything about marketing. And, you know, there are just huge gaps in what they know. And so they are great at taking pictures or they're great artists, but they don't know how to run a business. And I think that is, I mean, really without question, that's the biggest issue I've seen over the years again and again and again. How do I do this? I don't know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And running a business is hard. Starting a business is hard. You can't just, you know, there's this idea that if you put your work online, it's going to sell. And that's just not the case. It's a saturated market. There's so many people doing exactly that. Just to get noticed is really, really difficult. And so, you know, I think that's what it comes down to. It's a difficult market.
Yeah, I think I'll be a little more specific in my answer to that. And I think the biggest challenge I see with running a photography business is the fact that a lot of people, when they first start out, they don't know what to sell. So you sort of grasp at the straws, like, well, let's take landscape photography, for example, right? You can make money selling products. You can make money selling services. And even within products, there are everything from little magnets and gift cards all the way to fine art prints and licensing images and all kinds of products that you can make using landscape photography, books, ebooks, video courses, whatever the case is. People have no clue where they want to go. Even on services side, you can do a lot of services, workshops, seminars, webinars. Technology today is so accessible.
Mm-hmm. Portrait and event photography, you know, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was talking about landscapes only, though.
So. Oh, yeah, sorry.
So what I was going to say was that it is very difficult for an amateur photographer to find out where their niche is. Not only are they limited in their knowledge base at the time they're first starting out, but they're also limited in trying to decide what they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does not have every skill set that they excel at. They excel at some skill set more than others. So my advice to anybody who's starting out is sit down, evaluate yourself. Find out what you want to do and how you want to make money, and then go after everything else. Because otherwise, I mean, not to say that you shouldn't diversify, but you should know at least what area you want to target in terms of going forward and making a living at it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think many times, and this is, I'll use myself as an example, which I often do in the show. I think many times people don't sit down and think about what their strengths are or necessarily mm-hmm. what path they want to follow. For myself, I just kind of jumped into it, and I was not aware of all the possibilities, first of all, that are out there, you know, as far as yeah. the licensing deals and the workshops and different services and even the different products that you can provide. But I just kind of jumped into for me, it was doing portrait photography. And I think that's for a lot of people as well. When family or friends mm-hmm. ask you to do a shoot and you say, sure, you know, and you kind of slide into it that way and get referrals.
Right.
And, you know, it's, and don't get me wrong, that's been great. But really, through my own study, but also through this interview series, it's been so eye-opening to the possibilities. And there yeah. are so many, though, that you can't do them all. You have to decide, sit down and decide which ones you want to pursue, which ones you'll be the best at for sure.
Right, right.
Exactly.
So true.
Yes. And Verena, you made an excellent point about photographers struggling with marketing and business. I don't know if it's a creative thing. That's what I've heard. But I know many creatives struggle with that aspect of making their business go, of making it run,
yeah.
of making it sustainable, about getting their names out there and even how much to charge. It doesn't
right.
seem to come naturally.
Right. It is difficult. It's a completely different skill set. You know, I mean, it's mm-hmm. not just because you're a good artist doesn't mean you're good at selling your art or getting it out there. And,
exactly.
and you know, the best artists, you can be amazing and your work never sells. Mm-hmm. You can be kind of terrible and your work sells like crazy if you're good at marketing.
Yes. So
you know?
True. So true. So true. Yeah. So did yeah. you two have to get over that hump? Or looking at your educational background, I'm making the assumption that you did not struggle with this. But did you have any struggles with this when you first started out?
I think we really did. I think, you know, there's such a learning curve when it's not something you're used to. You know, I mean, Jay spent a lot of time working with Cisco Systems. Mm-hmm. He was a project manager for software programs, which really doesn't have that much to do with running a photography business, you know. But we also had the luxury of getting into it slowly. There was never a day where we said, okay, we have to work our butts off to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or our children are going to starve. You know, it was never like that. We always had something to fall back on. In fact, it wasn't until it's November now, right?
Yeah.
So, no, it's December.
It's December already, I'm telling you.
Okay. So a year ago in October, mm-hmm. That Jay started doing photography full time. I'd been doing it for a while, but Jay, you know, we're now doing it full time, both of us. And that really was our moment of, you know, of truth. Can we do this full time and make enough money? But we already had a pretty solid business foundation. But in terms of the learning process, you know, there were always issues that came up. What's the best way to market? What's the best avenue to follow in order to make this a lucrative business, not just a hobby? You know, we couldn't afford to have it as a hobby. It needed to be a business. And so, and of course, we really enjoyed that part of it. We both really enjoy that. So yeah, I don't think anything that's new and different is ever just easy. So, but we were very lucky because we had the background. We're also very, very motivated, both of us. Mm-hmm. We have lots of ideas. We're willing to try new things. We're never afraid of new technologies or anything like that. We're always trying to stay ahead of the game, trying to stay ahead of the curve to, you know, be at the forefront of whatever it is that's happening, whether it's the shift from film to digital. For me, Jay never shot film, but you know, that shift, I was really willing to be right there doing it. And Jay, of course, jumped into it right away as well. And so, you know, new programs, when they come out, we want to try them, new software. We always want to, you know how it works. And I think that's really helped us as well.
Excellent. I'm writing down motivation. Also, consistency is, I think, something many people struggle with. This is a question for the both of you then. After you identified the areas where you were struggling with the most, what are the practical steps that you took to overcome that in order to better run your business?
Yeah, I think that we there's a difference between, Verena talked about hobbies and business.
Yeah.
When you first go into the business and you make money selling two prints at a local library or a local show or whatever the case is, making sure that that is sustainable is not quite the same as that exhilaration of success that comes when you have just sold your first work. So that leap between hobby and business occur when you are absolutely sure that you can sell in a sustained environment a print that will allow you to make consistent income over time. So that requires an extra marketing effort on your part. And that struggle that we talked about is something that people have to figure out. And it requires a bit of thinking and brain power. Mm-hmm. You can't really just go and walk in saying, oh yeah, my great aunt bought a print from me. That's amazing photography. Right? It really doesn't matter.
That is.
Yeah.
Right. It's a great feeling, but yeah, that's not going to happen every day.
And right. Another advice that I have for people is just because there are 500 likes on your photograph on social media or 500 plus ones or 50,000 Twitter fans does not mean that you can be successful at continuously selling your work and making money at it. Mm. Those two, fans and likes, are quite different from being in business. So vanity and making money are two different things.
Yeah.
A lot of people confuse those with being the same.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we did that really helped us build our business over time was tracking results. We're both very analytically minded. We're very logical. We always want to know, you know, what our sales were like yesterday, what they are today, and what we think they're going to be tomorrow. So we have very sort of detailed, you know, spreadsheets and charts and graphs, and we're always paying close attention to analytics because we want to know where the trends are. If, you know, this effort is paying off, if that effort is worth our time, return on investment is very important. And investment in time is critical for a business like this, especially when you have kids. You know, we have children, we're busy with them, and we don't have as much time to spend on location as, you know, some other people do. And so we have to make the most of that. So tracking our efforts, tracking our income, all of that, and then shifting based on what's happening in the markets, what's happening in the world, what our customers are doing.
Based on margins as well.
Yeah.
So where we make the most money with least amount of time, right?
Mm-hmm. So. That's huge. That's absolutely huge for us.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, I try to offer as much practical information in the interview as possible. So I have to ask, I'm curious, what tools specifically are you using to track your effort, your income, your results, and your margins?
Yeah, well, we use Google Analytics to keep track of our websites and the analytics that come along with the website, which is WordPress, sorry. There it is. The WordPress site. We track, we also use MailChimp for our mailing list, and we track everything there. They have analytics as well. Of course, we also have our own spreadsheets just in Excel. You know, we create our own spreadsheets there. So every piece of software that we're using, every website, every online tool, you know, we'll track it with whatever tools they have, and we'll track it on our own as well.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example of our tracking abilities. We started selling ebooks in 2009, I believe. Yeah. I think our first ebooks in 2009. We have over 12,000 customers in our database. Mm-hmm. And every single customer who have purchased an ebook from us, we know and keep records of.
Mm-hmm.
We also, every sale and exactly how much they spend, when they spend it, what website the sale was from, what payment methods they use. All of this information is available to us.
And it's valuable to understand the thought process behind the buying. For example, a couple of years ago, we put out, for the first time, we put out collections. You had always been able to purchase our ebooks individually. Mm-hmm. And we decided, okay, we have 18 or 20 ebooks. So we took three and we took four and we took, and then we put the whole collection together. And we said, you can buy this set or that set, or you can buy the complete collection. And those collections sold like hotcakes. I mean, just crazy sales from the collections. And so, you know, keeping track, being aware of how many of each type of book has helped us a lot. The books that don't sell very well, eventually we took them down. We started offering them as free ebooks. But, you know, those are things that we track carefully. We want to make sure we know exactly which books are doing the best, because that's how we write the next book. Mm-hmm. Okay, this book did well. People like that. They like this. How do we use, you know, those ideas to create something new and a little bit different and maybe better?
Mm-hmm. We use free ebooks for just giving people a sense of our writing style. And a lot of people do that. They will have a short course or a short interview and things. So we use free ebooks for giving sense of our writing style so that people are comfortable as saying, okay, what are you going to actually get when you purchase an ebook? Is the transaction go smoothly or not? Mm-hmm. So those are the things. Besides tracking, we kind of know that, hey, people are reluctant to purchase, make that first purchase from somebody they don't know, right?
Right.
So you say, all right, here it is. You guys try it out. You can, and it goes through the same transaction process as the rest of our ebooks.
Mm-hmm.
So they are comfortable. So next time they want to purchase something, they know exactly what comes next.
Right. These little tweaks, they make all the difference in the world.
Yes.
And even understanding what you're talking about essentially was buyer psychology, understanding that thought
yes.
process. And that lets you focus more of your efforts on what's working versus what's not, which
yes.
if you had no idea what was not working, what books were not selling, then you would continue to, for lack of a better term, waste your time trying to
yeah.
sell books that wouldn't sell.
That's exactly it.
And that's excellent.
Another thing is that what works and what doesn't work, but you also, the data that you get from what doesn't work is more valuable than the data that you get from what works.
Yeah. Mm.
Because what you can do is you can then apply small tweaks. And I'll give you a practical example is one of the editors of magazines reviewed our courses and he says, well, the logging in process was kind of clunky, was his comment. He says, the courses are excellent. Everything is fantastic. We sell a ton of these courses, but the logging in process was. So that little piece of information mm-hmm. allowed us to take an extra step, tweak our website. So the login process is so easy that a customer logs in and they know exactly what courses they have purchased, what ebooks they have purchased, what transactions they have made from us, and how to get hold of all the courses they have.
Yeah, so all that positive feedback is wonderful. It feels good.
Right.
But that one little nugget of, you know, the login process is clunky, that's where we can get better.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we appreciate that kind of feedback so much.
And if you know that if he gives you that feedback, then someone else has had that same issue or problem
Absolutely.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Without a doubt. We also monitor all the comments on our courses. We monitor all the feedbacks on our courses. Mm-hmm. Based on the feedbacks, we will actually create FAQs.
Mm-hmm.
Or when needed, we will take step to make tweaks to our courses to improve it.
Excellent. I love this attention to detail. This is just and another thing that I wanted to touch on, you mentioned that you're collecting email addresses through
yeah.
MailChimp. That is absolutely essential. I'm amazed when I hear about people who are still not doing this. And you know, I actually had this chat a bit with Frederick Van Johnson, a mutual friend as it turns out,
yes.
which
yes.
I did not know before
our good
this interview.
Buddy.
Yeah. And you know, he was talking about how important it is to collect email addresses because like you said on Facebook, you can get 500 likes. And you know, that feels great. And it's good for your ego, but those people may not necessarily buy from you. And the fact of the matter is you don't have their email addresses. You don't have a way to get in touch with them in case Facebook were to fall off the earth, which seems improbable, but more likely it does. Or, you know, they keep changing their rules. I mean, even Facebook pages now are reaching far fewer people who like them than before.
Right.
And so it's key to have a database of email addresses. And, you know, I'm trying to think of what's the stat. Maybe you guys probably know this. The return on investment for every dollar spent for people who are in your email address database. I think it was like 40 times return on investment, or $43 for every dollar that you put in. And that's crazy, but it's so true.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, let's move on to the next question. And this is a big one that I know many people struggle with, especially when they're just trying to get into making money off of their photography. How are you finding, in the beginning, how did you find new clients or assignments? How did you get your foot in the door when you just started?
Yeah, that is tough. That can be really, really hard. And I think, you know, I think part of the issue is that we all have this dream of what we want to be and how we want to do it. And when you're getting started, it's not realistic necessarily to follow that path and ignore everything else. What I have found for myself when I was just starting out, as long, you know, if I had two choices, I was going to take the one that took me closer to photography, even if it wasn't the type of photography I wanted to do. So I worked, as I said, I worked for Marriott, the hotel chain. I worked shooting interiors. Sometimes I was up at 3 a.m. photographing the lobby because you had to wait until everyone was out of the lobby to take that photo. And, you know, I'd be flying out to Baltimore or Washington, D.C. But, you know, that's the thing. That's how you get your foot in the door. That's how you become a legitimate photographer. Being able to say, yeah, I worked for Marriott, or, you know, I sell my images for stock, or I have, you know, this article in a magazine, or this photo won a competition. Those things, those little things, submitting to the competition, submitting to the magazines, maybe that's not what you want to do in the end, but that's how you get your foot in the door. And that's how you get your name out there. You know, being a second for a wedding photographer. I don't want to shoot weddings. I can't stand shooting weddings. I have shot some weddings, though. And when you're starting out, being able to say, oh, yeah, I've done a couple of weddings is huge. Having a couple of photos in your portfolio, being able to show that you were there, that you did it, and gosh, look what a nice job you did, you know, that's important. And then as time passes, as you start to get your name out there a little bit more, as people start to call you instead of you calling them, at that point, then, you know, your choices get a little broader. You can make choices that take you a little closer to what you want to do. But it is time consuming. It takes time to build a client base. It takes a lot of time. I've had people say, well, I want to put my photos online. I want to sell them. That's great. Wonderful. Do it. But also go and find the clients to buy them, because that, you know, that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. Putting it up there isn't enough. So yeah, Jay, maybe you want to add to that?
No, I think what Raina said is absolutely right. The only thing that I would add is, from my experience, is the best way to get your clients is to let your work do the work for you. So what I mean is, for me, this was true, is I never went looking for clients. Mm-hmm. I went looking for great photos. And once I got great photos and put them on the website, the clients just came knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. And that includes clients from everybody, magazine publishers to people who wanted to do workshops and do everything. So I think what happens in, if you're first starting out, and how do you find clients? Well, if you put too much effort in just one thing, like finding clients, and ignore building body of work, you're going to have harder time, a longer time to reach that client list. Mm-hmm. What I would suggest to people is, if not more time building your body of work, at least equal time in trying to build your body of work and trying to find the clients. Mm-hmm.
And I think I would go beyond that. I would say not only build your body of work, but also build your body of knowledge.
Yes.
Get good at, don't just say, okay, I'm good enough. Assume, no matter where you are in your learning process, that there is more that you can learn. I mean, Jay and I have been doing this for a long time, but in my opinion, I think in both our opinions, there is so much more that we could learn, and that we're always looking for the next bite of knowledge, because that's huge. For us, our target market is other photographers. Right? We're not targeting the collector market. We're not targeting, you know, museums or anything like that, art dealers. No, our target market is other photographers. We're teachers. And so the more knowledge we have, the more people we can the more effectively we can teach. And of course, if you're looking to sell your work, then you need to know your target market there too. Is it art dealers, or is it maybe science museums? Or, you know, we had a friend who does star photography, just gorgeous, gorgeous night sky photography. You know, she's shooting nebulae and galaxies.
From her backyard.
Wow. Well, she has a telescope that she wears.
Yeah.
But very, very cool stuff. And she said, you know, I don't know how to sell this. What do I do? How do I get people to buy it? I said, well, where would you buy it? Where would you go if you wanted something like that? Or if you were going to make an impulse buy, where would you get somebody to make an impulse buy? Well, outside the planetarium, mm-hmm. you know, at the Science Center. So go in there, show them your work, say, hey, do you want to sell my posters or you know, magnets or whatever it is, or put together a book? Find your target market, find out where your target market is most likely to make a purchase. And that's where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's work needs to be in front of their eyes.
I think especially in the beginning, it may be uncomfortable for some people to
Definitely.
Get their work out there, or the thought of going into a shop and showing their work might make them tremble a little bit. And,
yeah.
you know, I've seen many people do this. I did this in the beginning, where it can make you procrastinate as
mm-hmm.
well. Or you think of excuses. Oh, well, I couldn't do this because I'm not good enough, or I don't know enough, or they're going to laugh me out of there. I mean, really, when you think about it, what's the worst that could happen is they'll just tell you no.
Right.
And even better, they may tell you no and give you some criticism. But guess what? Use
right.
that criticism as feedback to get better.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of it, too. You say, you know, you walk in there, they shoot you down. You have to be willing to walk in again mm-hmm. and again and again, or somewhere else, you know, and that is so hard. It's
mm-hmm.
so hard. But you can do it if it's what you want to do.
Right.
No,
absolutely.
And that's how it's done. That's how you get your stuff in there. You keep coming back and you keep getting better and you keep being more amazing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this really, oh, go ahead, Jay.
No, I am fine with it. I don't have anything.
you approve? Seal of approval.
I approve.
They approve this message.
Well, you know, it really takes us to our next question then, because there are a million photographers out there. We are saturated, some may say oversaturated, with images, good images, bad images, okay images. You know, how do you recommend that we make ourselves, our work, stand out from the competition, be it a professional photographer or somebody with a little camera, a cell phone or something?
Right. Well, you know what? The reality is, when you're a photographer or an artist, you are your brand. It's your personality that matters as much as anything else, you know? And so we try and put ourselves out there. I mean, I said before, I'm an introvert. That can be really hard for me. Sometimes I'd really rather just curl up in a ball, but we do, we put ourselves out there. We have videos that we release that are just storytelling. They don't make us any money, but they sort of let you come along with us a little bit and show what we do. And we make a few jokes and make idiots of ourselves in front of the camera. But you know what? That's who we are. We're idiots. So,
and it's selling.
Well, this is not my take on the situation.
I'm not an idiot.
I will let Marina talk about that
one. I'm an idiot.
You can her the credit for that one.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I think in the art world, you're right. There are so many people out there doing what you do, doing what we all do, trying to be photographers, but there's only one you. And so if you can get out there and be who you are and also be good at what you do, that's going to work in your favor.
Yeah, I think there's some pressure to be similar to the next guy, or you'll see a certain style of photography, for example, or a certain retouching style. And
yeah.
We all take inspiration from each other, but copying someone else exactly is not going to showcase your unique personality, what you bring to the table that no one else can, for sure.
Yeah.
And Jay, what's your take on this question?
My take on the question is, the best way to stand out is not to stand out, not to attempt to stand out.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't particularly care if I go out there and shoot something that'll make me stand out. I go out and shoot something that actually I love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, eventually what will happen is that if you notice my Google Plus stream, and if you notice my Facebook stream, even on Visual Wilderness, I'll send you a link to look at the photo album. It's standing out to your business audience takes more than just pretty pictures. I'm going to see if I can stop and ask Marina to mute herself, because
I am getting feedback from her.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little. But, you know, Jay, that really sounds like being authentic. That was the first word that popped into my mind when you answered that question. It's not trying to force anything, but to really just to be you.
And yes, that's just so be crucial. You. I never really went out looking for anything. I went out looking to pursue my passion. Mm-hmm. So all my best advice to photographers who want to stand out is pursue your passion.
Excellent. Now, how do you get the word out about how awesome that you are? Because you know you're awesome, of course, but trying to get other people to realize how great you are, how do you spread the word about your work?
Well, I think, thank you, first of all. Are you still getting feedback from me?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think for us, you know, like I said, it's a very crowded marketplace. It's tough to stand out. But for us, it's about putting out content all the time. We have an active blog. We have a very active website. We're constantly putting out new content, and we want to make sure that it's interesting to people. And I think that's what it comes down to. It's not necessarily about having the biggest and best portfolio. It's about being there, just simply being there. And that means having something new to give pretty frequently. We give away a huge amount of content every year. We have blog posts that go out about 3 days a week, all year long. And even for a couple of years there, we were doing it daily. But that proved to be a bit too much of a toll on us. So, you know, but yeah, I think that's what it comes down to for me, at least. What do you think, Jay?
I think that my one statement is to make yourself awesome. The best way to make yourself awesome is to make other people awesome.
Hmm.
Now, if you look at my Google Plus stream or if you look at my Visual Wilderness stream, you will notice that every single photo that I have posted on Google Plus for the last 3 years never is about, wow, look at how great of a photo. Isn't this cool? Am I not awesome? Every single photo contains a piece of information that other people, that will help other people take awesome photographs. So even on Visual Wilderness, you'll go to Facebook, every single photo contains a link to a blog post that says, are you dreaming or are you inspired by this photo and want to become somebody who can take a photograph like this? Here's a piece of information that will help you. So become awesome, not by telling other people to pat your back, but letting other people become awesome themselves.
I love that. I love that. The best way to make yourself awesome is to make other people awesome.
100% true. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Share the love.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's about collaboration as opposed to competition, you know, helping each other.
Yeah, exactly. We're not trying to climb on other people to get to the top. And I think that just doesn't feel right. You know, it doesn't feel good. I'm so amazing and you're not, you know, instead we want everyone to just have the knowledge we have. Look, we weren't born with this knowledge. We learned it from other people. We worked hard and we learned, and hundreds of people have helped us along the way. And that's something that we're more than willing to give back because it's not ours. It doesn't belong to us, you know?
And I think that one of the things as educators, there is nothing that would actually give us more pride than a student coming up and taking a better photo than you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the ultimate compliment that you can get, right?
That's huge.
So we look for that, and we like our students to say, come up, take a photo that is better than mine, and you arrived.
Yeah. Now let's talk about some lessons that you guys have learned over the years. Because, you know, we make tons of mistakes. That comes with it. And the key to really overcoming our mistakes is to learn from them. So tell us, what's the most common business mistake you see other professionals make or that you yourselves have made in the past?
I think this is about the easiest question. The most common business mistake that I see photographers making is very simple. It's just giving up too soon. Hmm. It's quitting before you've started. That's the one thing Jay and I never did. We didn't quit. We kept going. Even when we weren't making that much money or when things didn't work or, you know, when there were big obstacles in the way, we never said we can't do this. Every single day we kept going. And it kind of breaks my heart sometimes. I think there are people out there who could be so huge and they just haven't done it because that first step was too hard to take. You know, walking in and saying, hey, will you sell my image in your shop? That was too hard. And so they didn't do it. I know so many people who say to me, I have this dream. And I'm not even just talking about photography. I'm talking about anything that it is that they want to do. You know, someday I want to do this. Well, you know what? Today is someday. So do it. You have to do it. You can't just not. Because if you don't, you'll never get anywhere. So yeah, that's mine. Giving up too soon.
Oh, that's so true. That's, you know, and it's so easy to say you don't give up. But when you're in the midst of it, I mean, I remember times where I've been literally just knocked off my feet or having a tough day and just full disclosure, just laid out. I have this rug in my bedroom. And I remember one day it was a really tough day and I was just laid out flat on the floor. And I'm just like, how am I going to overcome this? Long story short, I had launched a product that turned out to be okay, but I was just nerves. And, you know, it's just such a mind game. There's so much about being uncomfortable in this business. And it is easy to give up before you really make it. It's giving up too soon, like you said, before you get started. That's so true, Verena.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so easy. It's so much easier to quit. So much easier. Don't quit. Keep going. One foot in front of the other.
That's one day at a time, I'm telling you.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. I have kids. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's great. And Jay, what advice would you have for us for this question?
I think our photography business in particular is full of egos. Mm. And a lot of people's egos drive. So once you're a professional photographer and you present yourself a professional photographer, present yourself with a human side. One of the posts that I love to share with people is people always want to become awesome by saying, look what a great photographer I am. But you can be even more awesome by saying, look at all the mistakes I made in trying to get here. So share your mistakes openly with photographers. Share those crappy photos that you took and spent $5,000 trying to figure out what you were doing and you fell flat on your face.
And share the story of when you lay on the rug and didn't think you could do it. You know, exactly. It's a good one.
That will make other people realize in this business that nobody is born a great photographer. Present that human side of you. No matter how successful you become, that human side will always be more attractive to people who really are your fans, who really want to follow you, than your work alone. Yeah, your work will speak for itself, let it go. But what speaks more is that bit of humility that you bring as success comes along.
Excellent. I'm scribbling notes furiously. I need a new piece of paper here. Wow. Yeah. You know, that's why I love this interview series, because without talking to other people, it can still take people years to learn these lessons, but learning from other people, learning through, you know, the photographers that I interview for the series, I hope my audience is learning from you guys, because you're just dropping these golden nuggets all over the place. This is great. This is crazy.
You know, my brilliant little brother once said, Mom, he didn't say this to me. He said it to my mother, clearly. He said, Mom, I know you always tell me to learn from my mistakes, but I think it's smarter to learn from other people's mistakes.
Wow. How old was he? I have to ask.
He was probably 12 or 13.
Wow. Out of the mouth of babes, I'm telling
That's
you.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, now tell us, what's one thing you wish you knew before you stepped into the professional game?
You know how we were talking before about mailing lists? I wish I had known how important a mailing list is. We didn't start our mailing list, believe it or not, until last year.
Wow.
And oh man, if we had started it 10 years ago, the difference would be huge. So that's oh man, I wish we'd realized how important that mailing list is.
Don't get us wrong. We have over 10,000 subscribers on our mailing list.
Yep.
No small one.
Yeah, it's great.
Combine that with 12,000 people on our customer database. It is a pretty significant step in 1 year. But that particular piece of information that Verena gave us, if we had done it 5 years ago, we would have 250,000 people on our mailing list.
You know, I think you could, it's true. It's true. I think you could drive yourself crazy though with the numbers of what could have been. I'm trying to think, because you're in
Absolutely.
Good company. Oh, I'm going to have to double check this. So don't quote me on this, but was it Pat Flynn I think that was one of his regrets from smartpassiveincome.com. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but I need to double check because I think that was one of his regrets, is not collecting email addresses in the very beginning. And if it's not true, we'll just edit that part out of this interview. But, yeah, you know,
right.
Better late than never. And really, it's really just, you don't even want to say it's late. It's just in time. You know, that's just how it happened. And for you guys to have 10,000 plus people in your database, that's pretty darn impressive for a year, let me tell you.
Yeah. It's not bad at all. We're pretty happy with that. And, you know, most of those people signed up on their own. We didn't stick them in there from our database of sales, you know, sales data. There are people who joined organically, and that's huge for us. But so, you know, if there's one thing that we wish we'd known, that would be it. So we hope that, you know, all these other photographers who want to do this, who want to maybe get into the business, start your mailing list. It doesn't hurt anything to have it there. Just collect the emails. You don't have to do anything with them if you're not ready for that. Just keep them. Hang on to them.
And it's super simple to set up, too. Some people may find that intimidating, but really, they make it so easy now, the way technology is, just sticking it on your website, and then you stick it up there, and you leave it up there, and you let people sign up at will. It's really great.
Yeah. That easy.
Mm-hmm. And the one advice is, if you are collecting emails, it is not about collecting emails in terms of numbers that matter. Mm-hmm. It is about collecting emails of the right people.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a educator, I would collect a whole different set of emails than if I was a fine art photographer.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could go out there and buy a mailing list. You can buy them from anywhere, but that's useless to us because it's not the people that we want to target. It's not our target market.
Right. And it really is about building a relationship as well. If you do it the right way, you have far fewer spam complaints, far fewer people unsubscribing or, you know, writing hateful reviews about your business, because people will do that in a second these days.
Yes.
So it's, you know, like you said, it's not about the numbers. It's about the relationship and how, you know, responsive your list is when you start communicating with them and how much they know you, like you, trust you. Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah. Now, tell us, is there a particular photography resource, a tool, an online course, or even a book that you would recommend to our listeners today to help them with their photography businesses?
I think we both agree on the resource in here. The best resource we have is the internet. Whatever we want to do, we just look it up. There is no one resource that we go to that rely on anything. We just search for information we need, and we will visit 20 different websites to figure out what we need to use and from where. We do use tools like MailChimp and Trello and Vistia and YouTube and WordPress to build our sites and to maintain them. But ultimately, it all comes down to doing research on the internet of what you need. So Marina, I'll let Marina add anything to it.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say as well. It's a hugely amazing resource. And, you know, people will say, well, don't you have anything specific? You know, the thing is, no, we don't. We spend a lot of time researching online. And the internet, you know, it wasn't there 10 years ago for us to just use like this. And it's huge. Not only is it, you know, great for research and for finding whatever it is, that little thing that you need, but it's an amazing marketing resource as well. We, you know, Facebook, Google+ are great for getting the word out about your stuff, your internet site, whatever it is. But we use sites like Trello, which is for organizing large projects with people all around the world. When we create our video courses, we have our editor is in Scotland. Our film guys, our film crew are in Australia. Jay and I are here in the United States. And so, you know, we're dealing with completely different time zones. We're working on a variety of projects all at once. You know, so we have all this stuff going on and we need to be able to stay on track. So Trello is huge for us. Wistia is great. That's where we list our courses. That's where all our courses are hosted. Mm. World Time Buddy. You know, it sounds like such a silly thing, but World Time Buddy is great. It lets you, all it is, you know, I put in my time zone and I can check the time zones in these other areas so I can coordinate meetings with people across the world. You know, when you're working with people all over the world, it's really, really helpful.
It's true. It's true.
Like such a little thing, but it's great.
I got really excited when I realized you guys were actually in my same time zone. I'm like, what? That never happens.
No, it's huge. Yeah. So we know how that is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we have all these sites that we use, MailChimp, WordPress, of course, too. But yeah, internet, that's the amazing resource of the day.
Yes, absolutely. And, speaking of the internet, our final question, but one of the most important, tell us where our listeners can find you as far as your website or even any products that you guys want to mention.
Well, you can find Jay at his website, jaypatelphotography.com. You can find me at my website, photographybyvarina.com. We also have visualwilderness.com, which is where you can find our courses, our ebooks, our blog. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can get discounts on upcoming courses and things like that. And we have a YouTube channel, which we are now really working on, sort of taking to the next level. It's all these videos, video tips, video stories, all kinds of stuff. And so, of course, you can link to that from our blog as well. So if you want to find all of that, everything in one place, visualwilderness.com is the place to go. Lots
Excellent.
Of free information there, lots of free tips and tutorials and questions and answers and all kinds of stuff like that.
Awesome. Jay, do you have anything to add to that? Did she leave anything out?
No, I think that's about it.
Yeah. Well, you can find us on Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been an awesome discussion. I had to cut myself short several times because I could probably talk for like 5 hours about this. I just want to thank both of you for being on the show and chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was an absolute pleasure. We had a lot of fun.
Yep. And thank you for including me. I was a bit surprised, but I enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Yes.